Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 26th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Lenten blessings be upon you. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and I pray that we can have a moment together wherever it is you find yourself, if it's a Sunday morning or a Saturday evening or sometime midweek, that this will be a time of reflection, of contemplation and consideration, a time to draw near to our good God. And we begin by celebrating the gift of life and taking in the breath of life. Receive it as a gift. And I pray, turn your face toward the sky and call to mind those things that are good and true and pure and worthy and lovely, the good things of life. Thank God for it all. And let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer. You can find the opening prayer in the bulletin, which is just, I believe now, we have a new format, just below where you found today's podcast. There's a notes tab there, and you can click on that, and the bulletin should come up for you. Let's begin. God of all consolation and compassion, your Son comforted the grieving sisters, Martha and Mary. Your breath alone brings life to dry bones and weary souls. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may face despair and death with the hope of resurrection and faith in the one who called Lazarus forth from the grave. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John in the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, and the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus now had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive among us. We call to you, we pray. Open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to participate in the miracles that John tells us about, so that we would come to believe that you are Lord. Bless us in this time of reflection and consideration on this, your good word. Save us from distraction and misinterpretation. Draw near, we pray. We ask all of this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, I'm standing here in an empty church sanctuary, talking to myself. I look out the window, and I can see just to the north of where I look, there's the beautiful Santa Rosa Sound. I see friends and neighbors out walking their dog. I see the beach waking up. And I hope that at some point I'll get this all put together and I'll put it out on the internet, and then you, for some reason, came here, you clicked play, and now here we are digitally, here we are connected. Why? Why am I standing here speaking, and why did you come out to the internet to find this message? Of all the other messages and all the other things that you could do online, somehow we're here together in this moment. Why? I think it's very much related to what Jesus says at the beginning of today's passage, so that the Son of God may be glorified. You make your way here to listen. I stand here and speak really for one purpose, to tell the story every week as best as I know how, as the best as God might give me some inspiration, so that God would be glorified. Or as John says, so that we would come to know that Jesus is Lord. Or for those of us who confess Christ as Lord, that we would continually be reminded and filled up with the truth that Jesus is Lord. And so today we have this beautiful story from the 11th chapter of John. We learn that there's a man named Lazarus who's deathly ill. He's from Bethany. He has these two sisters, Mary and Martha. They are all very dear friends of Jesus. But the timing of Lazarus' illness couldn't be worse because Jesus is out of town. The doctors can't help. Any of their known remedies do not help. We don't know exactly what's wrong with Lazarus, but he is at death's door. So they send a few friends out to say, someone knows where Jesus is. Would you go find him and get him and tell him to come as quickly as possible because Lazarus is deathly ill? So the messengers go out and they eventually find Jesus and they give him the news. But the hard thing is that Jesus hears the news and he doesn't have the reaction that we would hope or expect. They hope, and we hope, because can't we find some solidarity here with Mary and Martha? When we put out the word, when we dial up the 911 prayer, we want Jesus, the angels, the healing power of God to pop up out of its chair and come racing to our rescue. Lord, make haste to help me. But it doesn't go like that. Jesus is very metered and intentional in his response. He knows they have to go back to Judea, which the disciples are absolutely not all that excited about because they just nearly got stoned to death there. But there is opportunity there. There's a need there. Jesus knows that they need to get there. And they will eventually make their way there, but he delays his visit. And again, this feels very familiar to anyone who's been in a situation where they really need God's immediate intervention. And they offer prayers, and by day's end, those prayers have not been answered in a way that they can see. And the next day, they pace the floor and they pray, and still God's answers seem delayed. Mary and Martha waiting day after day for their friend Jesus to return, for their prayers to be answered. Jesus doesn't do this for dramatic effect. He's delayed because he experiences the whole thing from a divine perspective. He experiences the whole situation from an eternal perspective. He wants to heal his friend Lazarus and do the near-term thing of relieving the weeping and the suffering. But the mission is to bring forth the kingdom of the heavens. And so he's delayed. But he arrives. Eventually they make their way there. And when he arrives, he is greeted by the weeping and the wailing and the deep grief and gravity of the situation. The full humanity, the friend, the good friend comes and feels the suffering and the hurt, the solidarity with humankind. It weighs on his heart. John tells us very clearly. And so as he approaches and he can hear and see what's going on, Martha comes running up. She gets word that Jesus has finally come, and she comes running up to him, and she's upset with him. She's sad. She's holding back tears. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask him." And I imagine this, that in her shaking concern, her mix of anger and desperation, Jesus takes her by the shoulders, just puts his hands on her shoulders and fixes his gaze into her eyes. Jesus said to her, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." His question and her response reignites her hope in the truth, reignites the trust and the love that she has come to have for Jesus, that she's seen and heard the miracles of her beloved friend. So as soon as she said this, she runs back to get Mary, who has been prayerfully waiting at the house. The always active Martha and the always contemplative Mary, right? This beautiful balance in this sisterhood. So Martha goes back and tells Mary, "The teacher is calling you." And so in response to the teacher's calling, Mary gets up and she does something very similar to what Martha had just done. She runs into his presence, and when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping. He was greatly disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And at this point, the weight of it all, the hurt of human suffering, just pushes down on his shoulders, and Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. Listen to all this imagery, my friends. Holy Week's coming. Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you? Did we just not have this conversation? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they roll away the stone, and Jesus stands at the opening of the tomb, and he calls out his friend, and his friend comes back to life and stands before them. "Look at me. I am the resurrection," he says. He says that to Martha. He reminds Mary, and he puts it on display for the crowd that is gathered. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what Jesus did and believed in him. John gives us an accounting of this miracle from an eyewitness perspective so that we would come to believe that Jesus is Lord. My friend, I pray that you, when we finish the podcast, or even if you need to hit pause, go back, go into the notes, or go get your Bible out and read this story. And maybe you ought to take the time in these days leading up to Easter to go through John's gospel, knowing that what he's trying to tell you is that Jesus is Lord. And even if you say to me, "Well, Pastor, I do believe that Jesus is Lord," let him put his hands on your shoulders, just like he did for dear Martha, who knew that he was Lord. Let him remind you. Let him speak that truth into your heart right now, that Jesus is Lord. And sometimes he feels delayed, and sometimes it feels like your prayers are never going to be answered. Sometimes it feels like you just stand at the mouth of the grave and you look toward the horizon and you pray and you wonder, "Where is he? Surely if he was here, this situation wouldn't have occurred. My husband, friend, wife wouldn't have passed away, wouldn't have died. My finances would be better. My life wouldn't be falling apart." Right now, breathe. I pray, breathe. Feel the hands of the Savior on your shoulders. Jesus himself puts his hands on your shoulders. He looks you square in the eyes, reads the joys and the concerns of your heart, and he says to you, "Friend, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? It's a promise. It's a promise that he's making to you and to me today and tomorrow and forever. It's eternally good news. It's not always easy, especially when life is hard. But it's an eternal truth. which I say. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us back to life, for giving us strength and courage to know deep within our hearts that no matter our circumstances, you are God. And that all of this, all of life, all of the human story, all of the story of creation is being called home to you. We pray over this good world of yours, in the midst of its chaos, in the midst of its violence and corruption and all the trouble of the world, O God. Help us to find strength in you. Help us to find strength in the truth that Jesus is Lord and that he's come to show us the way home. And you know our stories, each and every one of us. You know what we're going through. But we take time to share the joys and the concerns of our lives, to make quiet space, O God, to empty our hearts and trust that you hear every word and that you will answer our prayers. We break our silence. We thank you, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we celebrate a jewel of our faith, a prayer that has been handed down to us, a prayer that you taught your first students. And now we are blessed by it. And we lift it up together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so as we move on from this moment together, I pray that we will all do so with a renewed sense of hope and peace and love and joy, that even when it feels like God's answers to our prayers are delayed, we know that the eternal Christ is ever present with us, leading us onward, calling us home. We are loved by our God, forgiven by our God. This God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.